Good to be in God's house. I know I'm fanatical about it, but this is my favorite day. My favorite day. Every day ought to be favorite to us because of the Lord and what He's done for us. But Sunday is my favorite day. I just like to gather together and assemble with the people and worship and acknowledge God and worship Him. And never know. Most time there's somebody always there that needs the Lord. You got an opportunity. Give them the gospel so they have opportunity to let God save their soul. Well, we're just about there, Sister Parker. Wonderful song. And I'm not talking about people that are sick in body. I'm getting older every year. I told Sister Childers over at Campbell, I always stop by and see her. I said, Sister Childers, I used to say, young preacher. I can't say that no more. We're growing old. But I tell you one thing, thank God we're closer home. And make no doubts about it. If you ain't a believer yet, I'm bound for that city, bud. It's mine. That's exactly where I'm going. Still believe what I believe when I was here the last time. Hadn't changed my mind about any of it. God's been good. He's wonderful. And I told some of them I won't have a spark in me. I don't care how old I get. I might not be able to do it loud. May not be able to do it clear. But I won't have a spark of God in me when I leave this life. God's been mighty good. Now, over on the other side of the river, there'll be a couple of hundred people gathered. They'll be praying for me, and they'll be praying for this service this morning. They've already been praying, and we won't see a move of God. That's what we come for. And not to get in the spotlight, not to be exalted, but we're here to exalt the Lord. And hopefully God will touch us and speak to us. My, He's been moving across that river over there. We are out of parking, and they're parking outside, out of the parking lot. God just sent them. We have visitors and preachers coming. I don't know how many preachers are going to have what's over with, and some of them older than I am. And I'm wondering what in the world they're doing here. But God's been good to us. We've got three young people got saved this week, went to camp for a couple, three nights. And so we've got to baptize some folk, and the Lord's just been good. God can still do it in this day. And a lot of change has been made, but I tell you what, God never changes. And you mark her down, this book can never change. And by the way, we do have a book instead of a computer. I don't want to get on my hobby horse, but I tell you, you can't put God in a computer. He has written a book. And I tell you, preachers, get up and preach, you ought to have a book and open the book. Great White Throne Judgment, I shared this with Brother Tully, I said, the books are going to be open. He ain't going to click on the computer, the books are going to be open. You pin it down on the book. I tell you, they can cause something happen, those computers. You do away with all the literature and what's written on literature and on paper, son, we're in trouble. Keep a book before you. Open the book of God. Read the book of God. I tell you, study that book. Get that book in you. Carry it with you. Meditate on it. We've got a book. I still believe Google don't know as much as God knows. You might believe different, but I believe God knows more than Mr. Google. All right, enough said. Somebody said, I'm against your computers. No, all the good comes of those things, all right. But boy, there's a whole lot of bad. Better leave it alone. In Jonah chapter number 3, I'll look in the book of Jonah this morning. Book of Jonah chapter 3. And I'll just let you remain seated if you want to while we read. And then we'll preach. I do wish you'd pray. We sure need God to do something for our nation and for our leaders in these days. And no matter what people say, and that's what I'm going to be centering our thought around this morning, this thing, how that we need God to move on our people in our nation. Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 1. It said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste any thing. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, and that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. I want you to notice in verse number 2 in chapter 4, Jonah got angry in chapter 2, and chapter 4, verse number 2, he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying then when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a grievous God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Father, thank you for everything you are to us and all that you've done for us. We certainly appreciate God, your people assembling this morning, coming out to the house of the Lord and obeying the scriptures. And then, God, we appreciate the good word of God, the book of God. I pray, God, that we not do anything to take away truth out of this book. But, God, we'd give out truth. Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit would bring it to our heart. Lord, that lead us into all the truths of God in these days. Lord, we might see your people wake up in these days. I pray, dear Lord, that somehow, Lord, you'd touch us again. Lord, we might be able to see God's people stirred again, be able, Lord, to rejoice in thee. Then, Lord, you'd help us that we might be mindful of our nation and the condition she's getting in. Then, Lord, our leaders, and how that we've got a God in heaven. And, Lord, we can talk to you. And, God, you can touch people down here on earth. So, Lord, help us to be mindful of the power and the presence of the Lord these days, and keep on keeping on for the glory and the praise of God. Touch these young people in this building today, these teenagers, these young couples. May they be stirred by the Spirit of God to look up and go forward in the work of God in days ahead. Help yourself to us this morning, Lord. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been preaching a little bit out of the book of Jonah and then over in the book of Revelation on Wednesday night in our church, and God's just spoken to our hearts, and we're trying to get across to our people. We go to other places, we hear preachers, good preachers, and I'm conscious of the fact that we as a nation might be gone too far in order to have revival. But I tell you, God is still the God of revival. And I want to draw a circle around that little word, revival. What we need is a spiritual awakening in our country, in our churches, in our homes, as individuals. I believe God can do it again. And I ended up in the book of Jonah here, talking about Nineveh, Jonah chapter 1, God spoke to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh and preach to him what I bid you to preach. Well, we know Jonah chapter 1 is, we see the disobedience of Jonah. Jonah pays a fare. Jonah gets a ticket. Jonah catches a ship. And he leaves. The Bible says he tries to get away and run from the presence of the Lord. It might surprise you, but I spend most of my time trying to stay under the presence of God. There's nothing like the old-fashioned power and the presence of the Lord. Without His presence, without His power, we just have people meeting in a building. That's all. But I want to tell you, folks, you can't afford to do without the presence and the power of God Almighty. God wants to fill us, and God wants to overshadow us with His presence and His power. And I want to tell you something. He can do that on a daily basis. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? I mean, there's a whole lot of people say, boy, I'm sick and tired. We go to church on Sunday and it's dry and it's dead and nothing happens and nobody's praying and nobody's weeping over the lost and nobody's testifying for the glory of God. This is where we're at. When God wants us to be in a state of revival and be stirred and have His presence and His power in our midst. And so Jonah, he's trying to flee from the presence and the power of God. But I tell you, you can't get away from God. God has a man for a task. That man is the only one that can do that task. It wasn't the Jeremiah that was going to carry the message down in Nineveh. It was not, I tell you, a Moses or a Paul or a Peter. God put His hand on Jonah and said, Jonah, you're going to Nineveh and preach to Nineveh that they've got 40 days to repent. And Jonah flees, trying to get away from God. I want to tell you something, you ain't going to get away from the Lord. And Bible said that God, when He jumped and hit the ship, God sent a wind. And He shook that shield. And I don't have time, but God, the Bible said that God prepared. He prepared a great fish. Now, God sent one thing, but He prepared four other things so He could get Jonah's attention. And in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah found himself, I tell you, in trouble, and he begins to cry out to God. I'm saying to you, if you're running from the Lord, if you're trying to get away from the Lord, His will, His presence, His power, God is after you this morning, and you just can't get away from God. Best thing you can do is come to this altar and get right with the Lord like Jonah did, I tell you, and say, God, I'm ready to do Your will. After 3 days and three nights in that whale's belly, after being in hell, he said, he was ready to do the will of God. And in chapter number 3, God spoke to Jonah again the second time. I want to say something to you this morning. God is a second chance God, is He not? God does give second chances. Sometimes He gives third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. But God, in the book of Jonah, was a second chance God to Jonah. God gave him another opportunity. He was ready to take that opportunity and go down to Nineveh and preach the word of the Lord. Nineveh, the Bible said, God said about Nineveh, it's a great city. He said three things about Nineveh, or four things. Let me give you two of them. He says it's a great city. America used to be great. Some of our Baptist churches used to be great. Not because of the people that were in the church, but because of the God that birthed the church and the God that filled the church and stirred the church and filled the people inside the church. Folks, we better get back to believing that God is still sitting on the throne, no matter the condition of the world, no matter the apathy in the church and the coldness and the deadness in the church. We serve a God that is much alive and able to stir us again and revive us again and do something for us. Nineveh, that great city, God said about it, said it was great. Somebody said, He also said it's a wicked city. How can a city that's great, and wicked or wicked, God say was great. Well, there's a reason for that. I want you to notice something in chapter 4 before I go any further. In the very last verse, of course, you know what happened. Jonah went down, and I tell you, hit the city preaching. You know what he had? You know his message? He didn't have three or four point outline. God says, you go down there and you tell them they've got 40 days. He hit that city and he's preaching 40 days, 40 days, 40 days, or God's going to break judgment. 40 days to repent. 40 days, or God's going to overthrow the city. And the Bible said, from the king, from the greatest unto the least. Can you imagine that whole city? Even the animal creatures didn't get no water, didn't get no food. And the Bible said they believed God. They repented. You know what God did? He changed his mind. He repented. And he did not bring or overthrow or bring judgment upon that city. Now you listen to me. I'm but one man. But I tell you, I can get a hold of God, and you can too if you're saved. One man. And I can send a message out, and I can remind people that this is what God said for you to do if you want some help. And I can tell churches and church people in the church, this is what you can do if you want God to do something. God forgave them. And really, in a sense, there was a spiritual awakening in that whole city. And in a sense, they were in a state of revival. I know that thing. I've done my Bible study. That thing changed, and they got in trouble later on in years to come. But I tell you, thank God for them believing God. They believe God. Church, we need revival. And I'm hearing men say, boy, I don't know. I believe it's impossible now for us to have revival. I don't. And I'm going to tell you what to do in just a minute. And all that. One thing, just believe God. But in chapter 4 and verse number 11, here's what the Lord said, and he's having a conversation with Jonah, and Jonah's done got angry, and he means to him about the gourd and how that he had pity on the gourd. And he said in verse number 11, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Look up here. God said Nineveh's great. God said it's a wicked city, but it's great. God said I want to forgive them. God said in that city, there is 120,000 young people, children, that don't know their right hand from their left hand. God said, Jonah, you're getting angry. And it does you good to get angry. Get angry, old boy, if you want to get angry. I've been to places, you know, and these here preachers, you know, they'll get up and then they'll have the old country preacher to get up and preach. And God will move in on the services. And they seem to get a little jealous and a little bit angry. Get angry if you want to, boys. I tell you, God's still filling some preachers and touching some old-fashioned preachers with the touch of God and the power of God. And God can still use you if you let God use you. We need to get the spark of God on us again. And seem like they get angry and jealous. Just get jealous all you want. I'm still going to be after God's power and God's spirit and God's touch until I leave this life, unless I lose my mind. There's nothing we can do without it. We've got to have the spark and the touch of God in order to have revival in us and it move out on others. We need what Nineveh got, I tell you, in their day. 120 that cannot discern between right hand and left hand. Jonah, God. Hey, can I say to you parents, ain't you glad that God looks out for your children? No. God said, hey, shouldn't I have pity on these people? Just like you had pity toward that gourd. I'm glad God looked out for my children. And then he said, cattle. Gonna save the children. Gonna forgive them. Take care of the children. going to save the cows so they can drink milk and eat steak. He mentions the cattle. He's just going to take care of the children, those that can't discern between their right hand and their left hand, and take care of the cattle so they can drink milk and eat steak. That's pretty good. He's a good God. I said He's a good God. Hey, some of you, you need a spiritual awakening. You need God to touch you and revive you and stir you again. It's not over because some's dropped out and some don't come and some's quit. God's still on the throne. He can get after them if you'll get after God. He pray that God would get a hold of them and bring them back to an old-fashioned altar. I say God's a good God. I began to see that about my young'un. I said, thank God. I'm glad God's looking out for my young'un. I'm glad God's seeing after him 120,000. God said, hey, I want to forgive him. I want to do something for him. Hey, I can use those down there. Jonah got angry. He didn't get angry because God forgave him. We get this thing all backwards. I tell you, that powerful preaching moved him into believing God. That's what it's going to take. He wasn't angry because of that. He was angry because they were enemies of Israel. He's afraid they're going to rise up more so and cause war and defeat them. But God said, hey, I'm going to learn you a lesson, Jonah. Learn a lesson about love and learn it well. I love the enemies as well as those children of mine. It'd do us well to learn that lesson. You know what you ought to do about your enemies? Need to pray for them. Need to ask God to do something for them. God, the Lord Jesus, died for them all. Jonah is a picture of the Lord Jesus in the belly of that whale, being 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Thank God for the death, burial, and the resurrection. Jesus came for our enemies as well as those that have already believed and those good people in this world. Thank God Jesus died for every one of us. I'm glad. Learn that about love, Jonah. I do what I want to. I'm God. You're just Jonah. I made you. You didn't make me. I called you. You didn't call me. Learn that lesson well, Jonah. We better learn it. You know what we need? We need a revival. And I want you to look up here. Revival. We can have revival. I don't care what preachers say. We can have revival. This was a city, maybe just one city in the United States of America. If God's man would stay true and faithful and carry the message, fill up the gap, make up the hedges, stand his ground, no matter what, our government is changing. And I want to tell you, folks, I never thought I'd seen today, some of you older than I am, when our high court, our Supreme Court, would take, these constitutions of ours, our forefathers laid out. I tell you, based on the Bible, and cast them out and rewrite their own laws. I tell you, and want us to bend to their ways and their laws instead of God's laws. I told our people, I'm not going to marry them. Oh no, they're not going to be members in the church. I said I'd put my head on a chopping block. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Makes no difference to me. Getting older every year. Don't care what folks say. I'm going to abide by God's laws. I'm going to do what God asked us to do instead of trying to yield to something that they're changing. Oh, we're in a mess. We are in one more mess. But hey, there's still hope. God's not dead. He won't ever be dead. God's alive. God can still touch the heart of the king. God can change the heart of the king. God can touch our leaders in churches. God can touch our people and young people and brag about old-fashioned revival that I've read about. I've been touched by God many times. I've seen moves. Some of you have here at this church. Brother Rice here and other preachers. You've seen an old-fashioned move of God. There's a time when some of you would jump up and I tell you, shout out a drop of a hat. And you drop the hat to shout. Now you've got dry. You're getting a little bit older like I am. You think you can't do it.
no more. I say, come alive in God. I say, raise your heads up. It's not time to lay the sword down. It's time to pick her up and let God do something for us. Stir us again like we used to be stirred. Get busy again, thank God. Stay with God on it. Let God send us revival. Believe God above others. Believe God. You can have revival. You say, how you know? 2 Chronicles 7:14. That if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, here's the key, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I'll heal their land. Somebody said, that's not for me. You don't have to claim it. I will. I'm one of the people of God. I believe God's going to do it again over on that holler. Maybe it does. We had some 30-some-odd young people, teenagers, come a couple of weeks ago from Houston, Texas. Danny McCall's wife, Dee Dee Hall. You knew Danny. Danny's done gone to be with the Lord. Her daughter married a young man in Houston, Texas, out of Danny Farley's church. And they got a school down there, and he had a good job making good money. And Danny's wife, they went to him and said, would you pray about taking care of these youngins in this school and being the youth preacher and over them and directing everything? And he didn't see how he could do that, but God spoke to his heart. And he's quit his job and got over those that school and those young people and doing a good job at it. A young man sold out to the Lord. And so he brings them over to our church. He's been over to our church. He brings them through on a Sunday morning service a couple of weeks ago. They come in. And the old man gets ready to preach. The old white-headed man gets up to preach. And God somehow begins to move and touch him. And filling. And those young people stood there with their eyes bugged out. And some of them began to amen. Get in on that meeting. And they were going to the other side of Nashville to a musical thing where they teach music for a week. Brother Ron Ralph's church. And boy, one or two got up before they left and said, preacher, we're glad we come by. God has helped us in this meeting. We've never seen an old man as old as you are preach as loud and so long and holler for God. I said, come by again. I'll be hollering the next time you come by. I want to have a voice for God. They went down there at that place and they began to send cards and letters and phone calls. They trying to get that little youth leader to bring them back. One more service in a holler over there in Push Community. Back in the stick where you can't hardly find a frog. If you find anything, it's a frog. But they drive in on Sunday morning. It looks like you're in some city on the highway. They drive in and some of those folk begin to park. Don't even go to church and watch the traffic back there. And they say, preacher, we just park in these turn roads just to watch the traffic and the cars come down the road and park in that parking lot. I'd say to you, God can do it again. I'm not exalting Brother Carl. I'm exalting Him. He's worthy of our praise. God still can save sinners. God still can send revival. Do it again, God. Do it again. I hope God gets on some of y'all for tonight's over with that you'll squeal like a panther if you can't do nothing else. Now somebody say, preacher, what does that mean we'll be spiritual? No, it might say something about God being in you. I'm excited about the fact, though I'm growing old, God never grows old. This body, I tell you, hurts, and just like yours, sometimes maybe not as much, and sometimes I just don't know what to do, don't want to get out of the bed, but thank God I look up into heaven, and God's not sick, He's not old, He's still like He was. I tell you, when He started existing, He ain't God old, I'm in Him, He's in me, and I say, God, do it again, raise me up, help me have a testimony today for somebody, encourage somebody, help somebody. That's what we need. We need to be revived. We need to be stirred. I get to thinking about 120,000 young people and God's mind was on them. That's the first thing God reminded Jonah. There's 120 down there. that can't discern from the left hand to right hand. Somebody said, does God care? You better believe God cares, buddy. He watches over you like, I tell you, watching over the sparrows. Hey, He knows about what's going on in you. Somebody said, does He care? He does. He cares for us. Thank God. He said, I'll just save the cattle too. So they need steak. Milk the cow and drink milk. You know anything about cows? You can find God to be about in everything. He wants to be into. Evidently, He wants to save them cattle for a reason. Isn't that wonderful? Boys, you know what I'd do if I was you? I'd cling to that book. I'd cling to God. And I'd live for Him on a daily basis. I'd get after Him. I wouldn't try to flee when old Brother Parker gets up and he has one of those rough, tough messages. Oh, I'd want to bump shoulders with him. Old man of God, got a touch of God on. I'd want to be around those that had that spark about them. Had that power, that presence of God on them. I'd get a hold of them. And I'd say, you pray for me, pray with me. I want God to take my life and do something for me. Those young people said, just carry us back by one. Nathan said, we can't go. We've got to go to Houston, Texas. We've got a church there. We can't go back there. God ever touches you with that touch, it makes a difference. He'll get you hungry again. He'll do it. Listen, as a group of people, you can help bring about. You're the only ones that can. My people. And then in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20, and this is the last verse, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I'll come into him, sup with him, and he with me. Hey, I told our people, I said, I want to be that man. I go in these churches and they dry and dead. I want to be that man that walk back. Open the door and say, God, come on in. You're welcome around here. I want to be that man. I want God to let me to be that man. I want to have that spark, that glow, that touch on me. Young ladies, y'all give y'all's heart and life to the Lord. You'll never go wrong. Over the other side of the church, about 5 miles, there's a graveyard. There's a young lady over there. Been dead for a number of years. 15 years old. Got to dabbling. I knew her and I lost when I get to thinking about it. About her, it hurts me now. Sin will scar your life. Never forget about something. She laying over 15 years old. Did not know the Lord. All she knew was drugs. All she knew was young men. Don't go that route. You give your life to the Lord. I can name hippies over there. I go by when I lose a vision every once in a while. I go by, not as much as used to, but I go by and I look on those tombstones. And I said, would to God you listen to me. God saved me and I came after you. And I used to get them by the shirt tail and hold on to them, witness to them there on the street of Risley. So, as a reborn hippie, born of the Spirit of God. And tell them about Jesus and give them the gospel. A bunch of them died without God, their own testimony. They died without God. All of them died a horrible death simply because of drug ridden and would not heed the Lord. I'm going to tell you, church, I'm glad God did it for me. That's why nobody can change my mind. Somebody said, once you are, you're going to always be. Hey, that ain't the way I think. I'm a has-been. I'm a used-to-beer. No. No, God changes some of that stuff. All of that is changed by the power and the Spirit of God that lives in us. Thank God my desires are different now. You listen to me. You know why most churches and folk don't want revival? You hear me and hear me well. Because to have revival, God demands a change. Turn from your wicked ways. God demands a change if you have revival. Hey, some of you in this building, you don't want things to change. You don't want to change things. You don't want to lay things down. You don't want to quit watching stuff that you've been watching that's filthy and ungodly. Beyond, we got them in our church. I preach to them just like I preach you. Hey, by the way, we got DVDs over there. If you want to get in on our services and see if I preach over here like I do over here, we'll send you some DVDs free of charge. Old-fashioned church services. I try to stay fired up for the Lord every week, every service, every time I get up, unless we're having a different service. I want God on me. Wouldn't want to live without Him. None of me. I gotta have Him. Gotta have Him. Hey, by the way, let me share this before I quit. That open heart surgery would be that's 55. I'm 65 now. It'd be 11 years come my birthday. 12 years, 11 years, something like that. Maybe it's been 11 years, it'd be 12. I don't know. You do the math. Somewhere along there. And so I got without insurance. They dropped my insurance, and I couldn't buy it, to be honest with you. It's just too high. I mean, you've had open heart surgery. You tried to get insurance. You can't get it. Church won't try to get it, and it was so high, I said, just leave it alone. I went for maybe 3 years for a checkup. Well, I turned 65. You get 65, they'll give you a card, a walking cane, and a pill. Send you home. So that's what they done for me. And I got me a little something on the side. Now, I hadn't had a checkup in over 7 years. I didn't know how long it had been. 7 years. Hadn't been for a checkup, my doctor. Well, I got that Medicaid card. Or Medicare, whatever it is. Got me a little supplement. I told my wife, call the doctor. They all think I'm dying. Let's get a checkup. So I went here a while back, a couple months ago. We got that card and set up an appointment. I went to my doctor, same one that I was seeing before I quit. And he'd tell some of the folk went to him out of church. He said, you tell that preacher better get over here. He probably done got some problems. It's been a long time since he's had a checkup. I said, how's he doing? He said, he's just hollering like he used to holler. Amen. So I went to get a checkup. 2 days, they rumming through everything. Shut that dye up me. Put all that gook over you, and if you ever been hooked up there, all the machine running through that, and put me on that treadmill, and put that needle in my arm, and they're shooting that stuff in me. And that little nurse said, now, preacher, can you handle it? I said, I try to stay active every day. She said, we'll have to turn it up, and it'll be slow. And she turned it on, and it was going slow. She said, now, we'll have to kick it up another gear, and she did, and it kicked up in another gear. She said, there's one more gear. Can you handle it? I said, kick it up. And she did it and kicked up in another gear. And shooting that die. So, they won't tell you anything. Waited 4 or 5 days, went back to see the doctor. He had the results. He had already told me when the first seen him, said, you're in trouble. We'll find something after 7 years. You're in trouble. Probably have to put a stand in or do something. But you ought to have done been here, preacher. I said, Doc, you want your money, don't you? You get your money now. I got a card and some supplements. Do what you got to do. And so he brought the results. He come through the door, smile on his face. Walked over to his nurse, cut the pewter on, shook his head. He said, preacher, he said, we're supposed to have found something. We're supposed to have found an artery or something stopped up, 2 or 3, after 7 years. No checkup, nothing. You hadn't been to a doctor. But he said, you passed all those tests. He said, I'd have my nurse check the bearings in that treadmill that you got off of. He said, everything's clean. He said, somebody's been taking care of you. I said, now, Doc, we've talked about this before. It ain't somebody. The Lord has taken care of us. I'm simply saying, church, hey, you know what they call Jonah?
sleeper. Oh, sleeper, those men said.
Yeah.
Wake up. He went to sleep. You know what we need? We need a spiritual awakening. Let me read these verses 9 through while you stand. And I won't come in on them. Romans chapter number 13. I want you to notice what Paul said as I read them. Boy, we just need revival. If you don't want it, pray that God continue to bless me and help me and touch me. In Romans chapter 13, they said to Jonah, "You're nothing but a sleeper." He said he was down in the lower parts of the ship. He was asleep. And they said, "Oh, sleeper, wake up." You know what we need? We need God's people to wake up. We have went to sleep. Romans chapter 13, and that, in verse number 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Somebody said, what are those verses all about? You probably won't see it, but I've already seen it. I believe those verses really speaking about a spiritual awakening. I really do. I know the chapter about those that are in authority and how that we're to yield to their authority and all of that stuff and how that God has ordained that authority and that power. I really believe we went to sleep. And he's evidently writing to the people of God. Awake! It's high time that we're to wake up out of our sleep. Keep doing right. Make no provision for the flesh. And that's why people's missing God and getting cold and dead and dried up. As they're feeding the flesh. Young the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already been in us.
Yes, sir.
He said, now you just get clothed with God's power and God's presence. Don't you think you? That's the Lord Jesus? Sure. Put ye on. He's in us. What are you talking about? Double portion. There's your double portion. God has been good to me. If you don't see it that way, that's fine. But hey, you believe God. We need revival. If you don't want it, pray for me and our church over there that God would stir us again. Help us with the revival. Let's stand up.